Welcome everyone to this new teleconference. This teleconference is for single girls, Kylas, and newly married girls in Shana Rishona. This has always been such a dream of mine, to create a teleconference that will guide women to start off their marriages properly. I am so grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for allowing me to finally complete this long-awaited project. It's such a beautiful time in your lives. If you are a Kala or newly married, first of all, I just want to wish you a huge mazel tov. In Beit Hashem, you have a bright future ahead of you. There's nothing like the simcha one experiences from being married and from having her own home. If you are still single, life has so much potential for you. You have so many opportunities, and in Beit Hashem, you will find your zivug hagun very soon. The fact that you are taking this teleconference should be a zchus for you, and you should find your besher, the karav mamish, very quickly. All of you should be zeicha to build a bayis neman b'Yisrael. I ran a teleconference for married women. I spend my days coaching a lot of women on how to bring out their relationship's potential. I always hear, I wish I would have known what I know today back when I started my marriage. I could have avoided so much pain. I could have avoided so much struggle. In this teleconference, I will try to prepare you with the basics so that you will have that clarity as you begin one of the most important relationships in your life. Before you get a job, you need training. If you want to become a speech therapist or work with special needs, you need training. Only after you have a good idea of what the job will entail do you look for a job. You are all at the beginning of the most precious job, to be the wife and mother of the future of Klal Yisrael. What an incredible responsibility, and it's such a schus for me to help you gain clarity as to what to expect and to train you for this monumental and priceless task. Let's start with the beginning. What is your established in looking for someone to spend the rest of your life with? How do you go about finding your beshert? Since we are little girls, we dream about who we are going to marry. We spend years fantasizing about our dream life. We can picture ourselves as Kylas in our white, beautiful dress, and we paint a fairy tale of who we're going to marry and what our lives are going to look like. We have this imaginary husband in our mind, and usually this man is made up of our exposure to different men in our lives. Should we be looking for the qualities that we are imagining? Can our real, live, flesh and blood husbands match the figment of our imagination? What are we looking for? Are we looking to match the fantasy that we have in our mind? We can't possibly know which bachur is best for us. We have no idea or very little knowledge of what we truly need in life. Only Hashem knows. Not just that, but you need a lot of self-awareness to know what you need. And self-awareness is a journey. It's a journey through life. The older we get, the more we understand ourselves. Right now, you're so young. How can you possibly know what qualities you need to be happy and to raise a successful dar of Yidden? How could you know? So let me tell you something that's a relief. You don't have to know. You don't have to know who is perfect for you. Hashem already decided that. You just have to do your ashtadlis to find him. 40 days before a person is born, Hatzbaku calls out the name of who you're going to marry. The Gemara says, Arbaim yom kodim mitziras havlad baskel yotes omeres basploni laploni. Hashem already chose our spouse for us. We can relax. And we can hold on tight. Hold on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand. He knows what's best for you. And he already chose the perfect husband for you. He knows what we need. Will our husband of our dreams match the husband that Hashem chose for us? Absolutely not. Our job is to be mevatel our rasan to rasan Hashem. And this is a life work. Being mevatel our rasan to rasan Hashem means that my rasan, this is what I want, and this is what but my reality is what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. And I'm going to let go of what I want and accept what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants for me. Hashem has carefully chosen a match for each of you. Your job is to find him. He may not resemble your fantasy husband. He may not have the qualities that you think are essential. And he's going to surprise you. He will have a lot of qualities that you love and lots of qualities that you don't. He will be imperfect, but perfect for you. So how do you do your shtablis to find your Mr. Imperfect? The first thing that you need to do is to consider every shidduch that is read to you. If someone read you a shidduch, you have to consider it seriously because it's hashkacha. You're supposed to have heard this name. You're supposed to have been read this boy's name, and therefore you have to do your shadlus, you have to be open to every suggestion that comes your way. This step is often done by your parents. You consider the name, and then you do the matching test. What's the matching test? You write down, or you don't have to write down, you think about all of the potential buffer's qualities and his goals and his ideals, and you ask, is this boy a good match for this girl as far as Yiddishkeit goes? Is this boy a good match for this girl as far as backgrounds go? Is this boy a good match for this girl as far as where they want to live? So, and every person is going to have different criteria that need to match. But everyone has different priorities in life. But what you're doing is a matching test, the basics. Does this boy look like he fits her on pen and paper? And then, you know, and that will give you the answer as to if you should pursue this boy further. Next is the part where you have to actually date the boy or a bishul. So now you have to go out and actually meet the boy. And what should you be looking for when you go out on a date or a bishul? And the answer is going to surprise you. You should be looking for nothing. You shouldn't be looking. You shouldn't be looking. You shouldn't be analyzing. You shouldn't be thinking. You should be just trying to enjoy yourself. Sira went out on a date, and her mind was so busy the entire time. She was uptight. She was nervous. She kept thinking, do I want to marry this boy? Do I want to spend my whole life with him? Is he the one for me? She couldn't relax. She was thinking, are there any red flags? I don't know if I want to marry this boy. I don't know. I really don't know if I want to spend the rest of my life with him. It's so scary. I don't know. He doesn't look like my type. I'm not sure. So she had a terrible time on her date. And she made the number one dating mistake. And that is to go out and during your dates or your bishul to think. Thinking about whether or not this boy is your potential, whether or not this boy is your bashar, while you're supposed to be relaxed and enjoying the date. You're not supposed to be doing anything when you're dating. You're just supposed to be focused on enjoying the boy's company. You're supposed to just be trying to enjoy the date. Just relax. If you think too much, then it makes you anxious. Being anxious doesn't make you the best company, and it doesn't allow you to be your best self. You want to relax and be yourself as much as you can. And then after the date, and I would even say in the literature world after the third date. The first three dates, you could just go out and just focus on just enjoying yourself, have a good time, and don't worry about whether or not you're gonna, you know, whether or not you're marrying this boy. But after, after 3 dates or whenever you're ready to decide whether or not this boy should be someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with, then you ask yourself, so this is only after the dates, you ask yourself, do I like him? Do I feel good next to him? Do I admire him? Can I have a good time with him? Is there anything that bothers me about him? Only after you finish dating, whether it's after every date or it's after, like if you're in the literature world, the first 2-3 dates, then you start seriously thinking about these questions. But when you're on a date, you shouldn't be thinking. You should just be relaxed and enjoy. And then that will give you the opportunity to fully be yourself. Because if you don't, and you're thinking the whole time, then you're going to be anxious. And that anxiety is going to make the process harder for you. So you want to tune into yourself and ask yourself questions about how you felt in the boy's company, whether you enjoyed yourself, if it felt natural to you. Do you feel good next to him? Do you feel like you can be yourself next to him? And sometimes you might need clarity on what you're feeling. It's not so clear to you. And if that's how you feel, then it's very important to have someone older and wiser to speak to. I help girls in Tzedakim gain clarity as to how they feel and whether or not they want to continue the Shidduch. It's very important to have someone, a mentor, anyone in your life that you respect, to help you sort out your feelings and process what you experience. If you're anxious through the process, it can be a much more difficult and longer process. It's important to be as calm as possible. Fear makes us very anxious. Someone who has a lot of fear will have a long list of qualities that they feel that they need. They'll also see red flags that there may not, and these red flags may just be a product of their fear and their anxiety. And someone who's anxious and fearful will be quicker to nix a good shidduch. So it's important to deal with our fear and not have anxiety and try to reduce the amount of anxiety we have. Because that just when you go into the process of shidduchim, it's so much calmer and it's much less complicated if you're not so anxious. It's so normal to have some fear because it's a big decision. But when there's a lot of fear, it becomes harder to make that important decision. It becomes harder to enjoy yourself and to really get to know your date. It also makes you much more picky. The Vairi had a whole list of qualities that she felt she had to have. She needs someone that's extroverted and funny, outgoing but also sincere, thought out, but just the right type of thought out, not someone who overthinks. She needs the right type of family so that her grandmother will be happy. She wants someone who is strong and take charge type, but not too strong, not headstrong. She has such a long list of qualities, and it's difficult for her to find a buffer that will actually have all those qualities. Why is she hiding behind a list of qualities that she feels she must have? Why is she picky? Often the reason a girl has a long list of qualities is because she's scared. It can feel like such a scary decision. And one way to protect yourself is that the more qualities that you have, that you want, the harder it's going to be for you to find. So in that way, in a subconscious way, you're protecting yourself from making the wrong decision. She's making it very hard for herself by having a long list of criteria and qualities that she must have in the right one for her. She's making it much harder for herself to find the right one. She's trying to control She's trying to control the situation so that she can save herself from pain. And the more qualities and the longer list she has, the more she feels like she's in control, the more she feels like she can prevent herself from pain. So when someone is scared and very nervous or anxious, it's much harder to go through the process of dating, to know what are priorities, what should you really have on your list, what are the basic qualities that you want, to know when it's excessive, to know when you're just being unrealistic. All that you need to have menuchas nefesh. You need to be calm. When you're anxious, then your mind could distort things. So it's important to be as relaxed as you can, so that you could realize what's important to focus on. You can make a decision and you could commit to someone. It's important to work on your anxiety. And of course, it's so normal to feel anxious. But because it is a time that is very anxiety provoking. And you want it, but you want to get a handle of how to deal with your anxiety throughout your dating period and into your marriage. And this is something I do, is I help girls cope with their anxiety. I help women who are married cope with their anxiety, and girls especially, so I can help them get through this exciting period of their lives, but also enjoy it. Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, says, a man was created to enjoy, lehis'anik, but then it goes on to say, al Hashem. A person cannot enjoy this world without relying on Hashem. Without Hashem in our lives, we can't enjoy. There are so many fears and worries and anxieties, and a person can't live with menuchas nefesh and simcha without being mechazik himself in amunah and betachon and relying on Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to trust Him and rely on Him. Hashleich al Hashem yahavcha v'hu yichakalecha. Throw onto Hashem your burden, and Hashem will sustain you. He wants us to stop worrying about fears and pressures and challenges, and He wants us to rely on Him. So what do we do when we experience heartbreak, or when it doesn't work out, or was it a waste of time to meet a boy and then it ended up being nothing? So why do we invest our hearts and soul into shidduchim that fall through? All your experiences are there for you to become the best version of yourself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you all these nesiyanis to help you grow. Every experience helps us become more self-aware, helps us work on ourselves, and it also helps us become closer to Hashem and daven more. The parsha of shidduchim is not easy, but remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves each of you, and everything you go through is for the best. Having emunah means that you know it's from Hashem. Having betachon means that you know that Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is your tati in Himmel, and Hashem loves you, and He wants the best for you, and He's going to make things work out for you. That is betachon. So hang in there, and for those of you that did not find your shidduch yet, hang in there, be patient, and concentrate on growing from all your experiences. Try not to be too scared. Hashem is leading you to exactly where you need to be, and it's going to happen in Hashem in the right time. Anxiety can also affect your experience as a kala. Anxious kalas can spend the time that they have to prepare for the chasanas, such an exciting time, they can spend it worrying about the future instead of enjoying. So it's so important, again, to have a munah and betachon, and to actually gain skills to work on your anxiety so that you can be relaxed and enjoy this time as a kala too. There are two types of kalas. There's the kala that's super excited. They're flying high. They're totally obsessed in love with their chasen. They're always thinking about how many times did he call me and how many times did he text me, and I can't wait for the next call, and they have this dreamy look in their eyes. And then there's another type of Kala. Maybe she's more intellectual. She's very thought out. This type of Kala feels the enormous weight of the decision that she just made. She's nervous. She's unsure about what to talk about with her chassan. She's not so confident. And she knows that she should be more excited, but she just has so many worries. Both these type of kalas are completely normal. The first type of kala is not anxious, and that's why she has entered into a stage called infatuation. It's the first stage of relationship. Infatuation is a stage that many young girls and boys go through. It makes you feel that everything is so exciting and wonderful, and the world is filled with happiness and joy, and that your husband can do no wrong, and that he's absolutely perfect. When someone is infatuated, it's because of chemistry and attraction and hormones between the boy and girl. But it is not. She's on a high. She has so much adrenaline. That's a kala that's in the infatuation stage. It's not a necessary stage. You don't have to go through this phase. It's a nice experience to be infatuated, but it's not. Not every kala is going to experience it. And as we said, some kalas don't experience it because they're more anxious. They may be a more anxious type. They may be a more intellectual type, very thought out. And it's not important if a kala doesn't go through the stage. Why is the infatuation stage? Why am I talking about it? The infatuation stage is a bracha from Hashem. It helps you build a beautiful foundation. It helps you start your marriage with a lot of positive feelings towards each other. But I want you to know that infatuation is not love. We're going to talk about what love is. Love is a journey. Infatuation is feelings of adrenaline and positivity that disappear. They disappear usually at some point, whether in the engagement or in Shana Rishona, and it's not a necessary stage. It's just hormones and chemistry. It's a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to make starting out marriage feel wonderful and beautiful. So what is true love? If the infatuation you experience, the high, is not being in love, so what is love? The Ramban says that on the words v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, he says, what does that mean to love every Jew? You have to enjoy every single person's company. We all know this is not possible. There are some people that we just click with and some people we don't. So what does it mean, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha? It means to care deeply about someone's well-being. The Arizal says that the relationship between a husband and wife is the highest form of avos Yisrael, of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. So real love is caring about your husband's emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being. And you grow to love your husband and care more and more deeply the longer you're married. So it's a journey. It's a lifetime of work. This is true love. And Emet Hashem, the longer you will be married, the more you will love and care about each other. It's very important not to mix up infatuation for love. If you're a kala that is not infatuated, it doesn't mean anything about your future. Emet Hashem, you can still have a beautiful, close, loving relationship with your chassan. It's okay not to be infatuated. Love and infatuation have nothing to do with each other. And like I said, infatuation always disappears. So at some point, this infatuation is going to disappear. And when it disappears, you're going to start noticing his faults. You're going to notice his weaknesses, his limitations, the things that you don't like about him. And that's when your real job is going to begin. You're going to choose to love your husband. That's the real job. That's when the real love has to start. When infatuation stops and you notice what you don't like about your husband, that's when you need to do, as the Rambam says, to truly care about what your husband's emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being. That's when when infatuation ends, that's when your job to love your husband starts. Let me tell you a secret. Every single kala, every single wife thinks to herself, I can't believe that he's doing this. Or I can't believe he has this mida. Or I'm so upset. I would not have signed up for this had I known. Or maybe this was all a mistake. You did not make a mistake. When infatuation ends, you might think that. But it's bashart. Every person you would marry would have their flaws and their weaknesses and the things that you don't like. And you would also only discover it once you lived with him and married him. And let me tell you that you're also going to discover so many wonderful things that you never even imagined possible. And about how beautiful your life is with him. So it goes both ways. You might think, oh my goodness, what did I do? Why did I marry him? And that's normal. Because when infatuation ends, you actually see all his faults and all the things that bother you. And that's when the real work of marriage starts. And we're going to talk a lot about that in this teleconference, of what to do, let's say, when you don't like something. But marriage is just a combination of so many wonderful experiences, and then there are some experiences that you have to learn how to deal with and how to handle them in a way that won't hurt your spouse. So now that we know that love is, we also know that it's a choice. And this is very contrary to the Gaius mentality. The Gaius mentality is like what we see on the media. We see falling in love. She falls in love and he sweeps her off her feet. That is not love. That is infatuation. We have to be careful not to think that love looks the same way as the Goyim portray love. Love is a feeling of contentment, of an experience of working many years to appreciate and to love your husband. It's not this glamorous feeling. What the Gaisha media is showing you is not love. And that's not what you need in a Yiddish marriage. That's not what you need. And Rosh Hashem, you'll have great chemistry with your husband and you'll enjoy your husband a lot too. But you have to know that the way that the Gaim portray love is not love. It's infatuation. Or even a form of infatuation. It's not even infatuation. It's more like lust. It's desire. Hashem tells us what we should feel and when we should feel. Our minds instruct us how to feel. This is the Tayridic approach. The Gaius approach is that we just feel and then we act on our feelings. So, and we see the state of marriages today by the Gaim, or the lack of marriages, because it's like, you know, you fall in love, you fall out of love, you look for someone else, and it's all about feelings. If I feel this crazy glamorous infatuation or lust or desire, then I'm in love. And then great, then it's good, my marriage. But if I don't feel that, then I move on. The goyim are all about acting on their feelings. In Yiddishkeit, we don't act on our feelings. Our mind, our intellect, guides our feelings how to feel. And we act according to Ratzon Hashem. For example, Pesach. The Haggadah says every single Yid is supposed to feel Ki'ilu hu atzmo yatsa mimitzrayim, as though he himself went out of Mitzrayim. So because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was commanding us to feel that way, we set up a beautiful Seder table, and we have all these minhagim in order to help us feel that, and we act like that. Tisha B'Av, our intellect, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that we need to mourn. Our intellect tells us to mourn the Beis HaMikdash, and then we feel the mourning. Yom Tov, the Samach Bechadecha, right? Again, it's our intellect that's commanding our feelings. Ratzon Hashem is commanding our feelings that we should be happy we should be happy on Yom Tov. Avelis. In Avelis, there's the Shiva, there's the Shloshim, and each has its halachos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us how we should be feel during Rachman al-Atlan, how a person should be feeling during that very difficult tekufa. So we see there are many examples of how Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tells us what to feel, and then we feel. So Ratzon Hashem is that once we get married, we choose to love our husband, which means, again, to care very deeply about his well-being. And in order to care very deeply about his well-being, a person has to have, a lady has to have an ayin tova. In Pirkei Avos it says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, Eze derech yishara sheyidbak baha adam. He asks his Talmidim, what midah should a person cultivate to become an Adam Shalim? And Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus said, Ayin Taiva, that if you have an Ayin Taiva, then it's easier for you to become Shalim in all the midos. The Bar Tanura says, someone who has an Ayin Tova is mistapik b'masha yeshlo, is happy with what he has. Ve'eno mevakish devar miserim, ve'eno mekane kishiroa sheyesh chaverav yoser mimenu. Because he's happy with what he has, he's satisfied with himself and he's not looking to see what other people have. So it's very important that you have an ayin taiva, that you look to, you could see the good. Because you can't love someone without being able to see their good. So the first step to having a good relationship is the ability to focus on someone's good. It doesn't mean that you don't see their weaknesses, but you think of them as a person with milas, that there's someone that you can appreciate and respect. You can't have a relationship if you only see someone's chesroinus, or if you define them by their chesroinus. Every person has milas and chesroinus, but if someone with an ayin taiva will not define their husband by his chesroinus, they'll define him by his milas. What we focus on and what we think about is what we see. If you keep focusing on your husband's bad habits, that's what you're going to continue seeing. Every single mila, every single attribute has a mila and has a chasaran. Every single character trait has a good part of it and a bad part of it. If you're someone with emotion and you react with intense emotion, it also means that you can be very passionate, but it also means that you can get very angry. If you're very frugal, you can be very good at managing money. However, it can also be you can also be stingy. If you're spontaneous, it may seem like you're flighty and impulsive, but it can also make you fun and help you take risks. If you are a doer, you may have a harder time relaxing. If you don't care about how you look, you may not be so machbit about externals, but you also may be more messy, but you also may be more easygoing. If you're very neat and organized, you may be more rigid. Every character trait can be viewed as good or bad, and you get to choose your focus. Having an eye in taiva means that you choose to see the good. You choose to focus on your husband's good. And even his bad midos and his bad habits, you can still see the good in them because, like I said, everything, and this is what I help women do, is to figure out the good even in what they perceive as bad. Because every attribute has a good side to it and a bad side to it. And you get to choose to see, and you get to choose to define your husband either by an amazing person, and he's so special, and I admire him so much, and I look up to him, or chas v'shalom, the opposite. What prevents someone today from having an ayin taiva? And I'm going to tell you something, a scary phenomenon today that really prevents people from having an ayin taiva. People are not satisfied with their lives today because they look at everyone outside their own life. They look at everyone else's lives. Today, we are very, very focused on externals. Everyone is always snapping selfies, posting them on social media. Everything looks so glamorous and beautiful and fun and exciting. And then whoever's looking at all these beautiful pictures, their lives feel dull in contrast to these exciting pictures. And they feel like their lives are dull in contrast to everyone else's exciting life. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, was once talking to his chavrusa, and an Americana bachurim from America, began snapping pictures at him. And Rav Shlomo Zalman's chavrusa said, "You know what the first thing Americans are going to do when Mashiach comes? They're going to take a picture." And this happened long before the internet even existed. And at this point, it's out of control already. We externalize everything. We love to share our personal lives to make us feel good about ourselves, like to make everyone think that we have it, that we're on top of it. We're so functional. We're so perfect. We're so amazing. We have become so focused on making our lives so superficial by externalizing everything and sharing all this. Quote-unquote perfection, or what we make it look like. We at least make it look like perfection. We all know that it's far from perfect. Whatever we're sharing, is a little picture of a whole big picture that's not perfect. But in today's generation, we all have learned to measure ourselves by all these pictures. Whether they come from the magazines, gorgeous tablescapes, or they come from the pictures of that you see of all the or the people even that you see wearing these gorgeous clothes, or the families you see that look so perfect, and the pictures that you see that look so perfect, we all compare ourselves to this level of perfection. And it's a rat race of trying to keep up with this perfection. And then the inevitable happens that we're always comparing ourselves and feeling bad about ourselves to others. We're always comparing ourselves to others. And we compare our family members too. And it's so detrimental to our emotional well-being. We have so much pressure by trying to keep up with the Joneses and to have this perfect external. And it's terrible in marriage. It's terrible in relationship. It's terrible when you're engaged, even. You know, if you start looking at everyone else's pictures of their engagement, you start looking at everybody else's pictures of their hasanas, and it can make you feel inadequate, and it can make you feel, and you can start comparing your husband or your hasan to other people. So, and everyone else's lives could look picture perfect. It really hurts. We want to focus on our own lives, and we want to work on being happy with our own lives. We do not want to be comparing our lives to other people's lives. We want to be just looking internally and satisfied with our lives. And again, there is no such a thing as perfection in this world. Only a Kadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. So, and every little snapshot that you see is just that. It's just a tiny picture of a big picture that's very imperfect, just like your life. Rav Matisyahu Salomon Shlita brings out this point with about when he talks about the nevuah of Bilam. Matayvu alecha Yaakov mishkan asecha Yisrael. That was one of Bilam's praises of Klal Yisrael. That how beautiful are the tents of Yaakov and the dwelling places of Yisrael. What Bilam was trying to do was highlight the fact that Klal Yisrael's tents are set up so that no two entrances face each other. And that just showed how tzniut Klal Yisrael is, that no two entrances face each other. Rav Matisyahu asks a very basic question regarding this medrash. Why would Bnei Yisrael pray so highly for the fact that their tents did not have entrances facing each other? Any normal person would design a house with that most basic aspect, because every normal person has a need for privacy. No one wants the neighbor to be looking straight into their house. Everyone wants to prevent other people from looking at their personal space. So why is this such a great nevuah about Klal Yisrael? The answer is that what he was saying, he was praising Klal Yisrael not just for the tzniyas that the entrances didn't face each other, but he's praising Klal Yisrael for the quality that they had, that their motivation, it wasn't to preserve their own basic privacy. Their intention was for every family to remain focused on their own home and not to be preoccupied with what everyone else is doing. That is the greatness of Klal Yisrael. That we want to be completely focused on our own home. That we want to be focused within and not be looking at other people. So Klal Yisrael arranged their tents to avoid seeing outside of their own homes. And that was the special quality that Bilam is talking about. That they're internally focused. And when someone focuses on her own life, and doesn't care about what other people are doing and what other people are what's important to other people. And so then she can feel satisfied. And then she can really truly enjoy the brachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her. Now we're going to talk about a very important topic. What are the red flags? And this is a topic that I'm asked about a lot when I coach single girls. What are the red flags that you should look out for when you're dating? What should you be concerned about? I'm also going to talk about what you want to see, not just the red flags, but what you want to see. And the qualities that I'm going to talk to you about now, these are all qualities that each of you should work on cultivating within yourself, because these qualities are super important, so necessary to be a good spouse, to be a good wife, or to be a good husband. So these I'm not just telling you these qualities so you can look out for them when you're dating a boy. I'm also telling you these qualities so that you should cultivate and work on these qualities in yourself so you get better at these qualities. So what's the first quality? What do you want to see in the boy that you're dating? What do you want to have more of in yourself? An extremely important mida for being good at relationship is the ability to have empathy, the ability to care about another person. Empathy is so important. And not just that, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose our leaders. He chose Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech because they were shepherds. Why? Why did Hashem want the leaders of Klal Yisrael to be shepherds? Because if a shepherd can care so deeply for his sheep, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that he can care for Klal Yisrael. So Hashem chose the leaders of Klal Yisrael based on their empathy. One of the reasons HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Moshe Rabbeinu was because he was very empathetic, because he cared deeply about other people. And Hashem saw this by the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was a shepherd. So empathy, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this, Mahu Rachem Afata Rachem, we're supposed to try to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem has this mida of Imo Anochi Batsara. He showed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu in a low bush to show Moshe Rabbeinu, I am with the Yidden in pain. The ability to care about someone, that is so important in order to be a good spouse. The ability to feel someone else's pain. So you want to ask yourself, does he care about people? Does he feel a pain for someone else? Can he imagine what someone else is going through? So the red flag would be someone who is not good at empathizing, not good, very bad at empathizing. Someone who does not have empathy is called a narcissist. It's someone who only thinks about himself and does not care about other people. That's a red flag. So the next attribute that you want to see in the boy that you're dating or that you want to cultivate in yourself is positivity. Someone who's a positive person is a pleasant person to be around. It's so much more pleasant to spend life with someone who's positive. So that's something you want to look out for. Is he a positive person? Positive people also have friends. They have more friends. People enjoy them. So you might want to find out, does the boy have friends? But what's the red flag that you should be very concerned about? Excessive negativity. If a boy is putting down a lot of people in his life during the date in conversation, that's a red flag. If there's a lot of put downs, a lot of criticism, that's a red flag. Because chas v'shalom, being married to someone who is excessively negative could be a very, very traumatic and difficult emotional experience. Meaning if he's putting other people down in his life now, he can chas v'shalom put you down. So we want to be wary of that. The next quality that's super important to have in relationship is flexibility. What happens? What is flexibility? Flexibility is the ability to go with the flow. It's the ability to just ride the waves, right? Not to get too upset when something doesn't happen that you wanted to happen. What happens if something doesn't go his way? Let's say he's disappointed. The best way to explain this is, let's say he has a plan A. He's thinking that this is going to happen. Plan A is going to happen. But plan A didn't work out. And now he has to move on to plan B. Can he easily accept that plan A didn't work out, and can he easily move on to plan B? Can he appreciate plan B, even though it wasn't his first choice? How does he cope when something is hard for him? How does he cope with change? So someone who is, what's the red flag? That's someone who is excessively rigid. Someone who is excessively rigid needs everything done his way all the time. And he can't handle if things are different than the way he feels that he needs it. And he can't handle if things are done a different way. He can't handle change well. So these are the red flags that you wanna take notice of if you see it. And you have to understand that you're not going to see all these things on a date, because a date is not a natural setting. It's not a natural setting. So this actually happens during, these questions should be asked during the matching process. When you're looking into a boy, then you could ask his friends and the people who know him. On dates, you're probably not going to see much as far as these qualities. But you might see a little bit of empathy. He cares about someone else. He shares with you that he feels bad for someone. You might see him being positive about something. And you might see flexibility that something on the date doesn't work out and he handles it well. And those are all very nice and reassuring signs. And also, you know, the way he talks about his family and his friends, that's going to tell you a lot. So but really the research has to be done before you go out, that whether he has these positive qualities or whether, chas v'shalom, there are any red flags, if there's any narcissism, excessive negativity, and rigidity. So, and this is doing your best hishtadlus to make sure that, because these qualities, the red flags, they really can impact relationship in a very detrimental way. So you look out for these qualities. But you have to remember, someone who's a little bit inflexible or a little bit negative or lacks a little bit of, not, you know, a lot of boys, let's say, when you're going out, they don't know how to show empathy to a girl. That's okay. It doesn't mean that you have to see him showing empathy to you. It means the red flag would be if he lacks the ability to imagine someone else's pain. But all these things, it's okay if he has a little bit of it, a little bit of the negative quality. And it's also okay if he doesn't have a lot of the positive qualities, the empathy, the positivity, and the flexibility. It's okay. What you're looking for is extremes. No one is perfect, and we all have until 120 to work on these qualities. And something you could do, if you want, is to bring this up on a date, to talk about these qualities, the empathy, the positivity and flexibility, and you get to see how much he values these qualities. So this is your hishtablos. And Amrit Hashem, Chatzbrachu is going to bless each of your hishtablos, and you're all going to find your bashat, and Amitchem, you're gonna have beautiful shalom bayis, and have a real strong emotional connection with your husband or your future husband. So thank you so much for joining me tonight. Amitchem, everyone should have besuras tayvais, and I'm looking forward to talking next week about what makes a wonderful wife and why we get married and lots of amazing topics that are really going to empower you and give you the clarity that you need at this time of your life. If anyone has any questions, please email or text me, or you can leave a message on the hotline. So let me give you all the information. Either you can email goforharmonyquestions@gmail.com, questions with an S at the end, goforharmonyquestions@gmail.com. And if you forget this email, you can just email the email goforharmony@gmail.com. You can text me at 216-635-8421. 216-635-8421. You can text me your question. Or you can leave a message on the hotline number. I think it's by pressing option 9. But when you leave a message, just specify that you're in the Kala and Singles teleconference and that you're leaving a message. And Baruch Hashem, we're going to have a question and answer call in 2 weeks, meaning we're going to have another call next week, next Sunday, and then the following Thursday evening, so it's less than 2 weeks, the following Thursday evening, Baruch Hashem, we're going to have our live question and answer call. Thank you so much for joining me, and have a wonderful week.